guys, welcome to the very first episode of The Daily Dose. And yes, I know some of you are laughing right now. I didn't quite get it for a little bit, and I'd done a lot of work, and then I realized, oh, oops. Anyways, you'll never forget the name. The show is going to be airing Monday through Friday, just a brief show. It's going to be the top six news stories of the day before. Sometimes it's going to be covering current events, possibly funny stories that we find, things that matter to the maritime industry as a whole. We're going to be covering yachting, sailing, and boating. I hope this is of value to you. If you do think it's of value to you and you enjoy this show, please do subscribe. If there's things that you think need to be changed or added, or if you have a story that you think we should air, please do send us an email at info@yachtinginternationalradio.com. So with that all being said, thanks for tuning in. I hope you like it, and I hope you subscribe. Welcome to the very first episode of The Daily Dose. My name is Rhea. I'm your host. Enjoy. Right. First off, of course, the first thing that most of us wake up every single morning, we look at the news and we're looking about what's going on between Russia and the Ukraine. And of course, being in the maritime industry, we're looking to see if there's been any movements on any of the yachts, especially in Europe at the moment. But we have all been following, I'm sure. I see it on LinkedIn, the story of the yacht Amadea that has been sort of not seized, but it's been detained, I guess, in Fiji. And then actually it was in the end seized because the US was given the rights to seize it. There's been a change. It'll be interesting to see how this affects all of the other yachts that have been seized as well, because this is setting precedents. A court in Fiji has paused the execution of a United States warrant to seize a $300 million yacht, Washington says is owned by sanctioned Russian oligarch Suleiman Karamov. The announcement on Monday came following a request to Fiji's Court of Appeals by Millamarine Investment, the company that officially owns, the 106-meter yacht called Amadea. Western countries, including the U.S., have been targeting the assets of influential Russians with links to the Kremlin as punishment for Russia's invasion of Ukraine. U.S. President Joe Biden has requested that Congress give him the authority to use the proceeds of seized assets to benefit Ukraine, representing an escalation in the pressure campaign against Moscow. Fijian authorities last week officially seized the yacht at the request of the U.S. Justice Department. Amadea had been impounded by police in Fiji for weeks before its seizure, with the U.S. Justice Department saying Karamov had previously been designated as part of a group of Russian oligarchs who profit from the Russian government through corruption and its malign activity around the globe. Karamov was sanctioned by the U.S. in 2014 and 2018. Now he has also been sanctioned by the European Union. The case concerning the yacht is scheduled to return to court on Thursday, and the U.S. warrant remains officially registered with the Fiji courts, a spokeswoman for the court told the AFP news agency. So that is an interesting development, and it will be interesting to see what happens in the coming days and weeks. Who knows? Most of these yachts, they're, as we all know, they're owned by one company and another company, and there's another shell company, and it's, you know, a cousin twice removed, and an aunt or an uncle or a girlfriend's stepdaughter. So it will be interesting to see if we have these companies coming forward and saying, no, it's our yacht. And how difficult it will be, and it has been, we've seen, I mean, Italy right now is having the same issue, how difficult it is to sort of trace back the actual ownership. So we'll keep you updated, I guess. We'll just have to keep our eyes on the news. Right, moving on. The Coast Guard says its crews rescued seven people over the weekend after a large yacht took on water and became disabled 25 miles off the Washington coast. Workers at Coast Guard Sector Columbia River Command Center received a radio call from the crew of the 143-foot vessel at 6 a.m. on Saturday, the U.S. Coast Guard said in a news release on Monday. The crew said the yacht was taking on water because they couldn't get the transom door at the back of the yacht to close. The yacht crew members also said they engaged the engine room fire suppression system after seeing smoke, which disabled the vessel. An MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crew from Air Station Astoria, lifeboat crews from Station Grays Harbor and Station Culiate River, and a 210-foot medium endurance cutter were sent to the yacht for evacuations and towing. No medical concerns and no pollution, thank God, from the yacht were reported. The cutter arrived that afternoon to tow the yacht toward the Strait of Juan de Fuca entrance, where the tow would be passed to a commercial salvage company. That process took nearly 24 hours, according to the Coast Guard. The commercial tug was scheduled to tow the yacht to a shipyard in Port Angeles for repairs. I am sure there will be a little bit of an investigation after that, or at the very least, an insurance claim. Moving on to a very inspiring story. And I think for me, whenever I talk about sailors or I talk to sailors, I always get inspired because there's a passion in their eyes. They seem to sparkle. Nothing against motorboats, but the people of sailing. I think they're maybe a little bit rougher around the edges, but which appeals to me. But they definitely do have that little bit more spark. And this next lady is absolutely no exception to the rule. She is a remarkable athlete born without her lower right arm, who has represented Team Great Britain four times at the Paralympics. She plans to become the first disabled woman to complete the Everest of sailing, a grueling 28,000 mile solo race across the world called the Vendee Globe. Hannah Stodel, 36, has come a long way since her school days when she was bullied relentlessly and called Captain Hook by classmates because of the hook prosthetic she then used. Finding solace at sea, Hannah is now hoping to find a backer to help fund the 60-foot monohulled boat she needs for the 2024 global race, which she says can cost anywhere from £640,000 to millions. The nonstop race will set off from France on November 24th, 2024, and we'll see competitors sail across the globe on their own in what is widely considered to be one of the most challenging sporting events in the world. In 2018, Hannah competed in the Round Britain and Ireland race, where she covered 2,000 miles in just 11 days. Despite an illustrious sailing career, Hannah still faces discrimination and was even turned away from a sailing school in recent years, as they did not believe she could train with just one arm. By competing in the Vendee Globe, Hannah is hoping to break down barriers for disabled people who feel like they cannot compete. We will make sure to provide details in if you're interested in helping Hannah sail around the world in the Vendee Globe and proving to her that it doesn't matter your gender, your sexual orientation, anything that others may think is a limitation. If your mind is strong enough, you can do whatever you put your mind to. So it'd be great if anybody out there has an extra couple of bucks in their pocket. Please do help her out. I think it's great. I think she's a great role model and is doing a lot, not only for the sport, but for others that have disabilities of sorts. Just my thoughts. Now, this next story, it's the cruise industry, which, yeah, okay, I know some of you are going, why are we talking about the cruise industry? But this story, it really matters because it's something that we all face on a daily basis. And I think we don't talk about enough, we don't deal with enough, and it is massively important for the environment. And we all know how much damage we're doing to the environment at the moment. The cruise industry really seems to be its own worst enemy sometimes, and Celebrity Cruises is once again a shining example of that, as the company just had to cancel an additional cruise for the Celebrity Eclipse. This time, the reason for the cancellations is rather exotic, as sea life has attached itself to the hull of the ship while the eclipse was just lingering around, and it has accumulated so much that it's now dragging the vessel, forcing it to a slower speed. In addition to that, the ship isn't allowed to sail into many of the sensitive ecosystems in Upper Alaska, bringing with it sea life from the south, such as California and Mexico, where the ship has been floating around doing nothing for the past months. Anti-fouling people and eco-friendly anti-fouling. I mean, seriously, Celebrity noticed this problem just now, 1 week before the eclipse is supposed to start its Alaska season from Vancouver, British Columbia. The Pacific coastal sailing the eclipse was supposed to kick off the season with has also been canceled since early January. And now the email that was sent to booked guests reads, due to recent marine growth that has developed on the ship's hull, a natural process that you might know as barnacle growth, and our commitment to following local environmental procedures, we are putting Celebrity Eclipse into a dry dock for 7 days in order to safely and responsibly clean the hull. So essentially, Celebrity Cruises has been almost out of business for 2.5 years. The ships have been sitting, the cruise ships have been sitting around, you know, with bare minimum staff. And they didn't think that it was a good idea to take a look at their hull. I don't know, you know, maybe somebody's getting paid too much over Celebrity Cruises, but some of their other ships did go into dry dock and were anti-fouled and done properly. But and we're talking about one of the most sensitive ecosystems as well. I mean, I come from that area. I come from the Pacific Northwest, Terrace, BC, but, you know, we're just off 2 hours from the coast, which is Prince Rupert. And that's right down that coastline. And those areas, I mean, rich with fish and rich with sea life. And it's just, it's almost untouched, I think probably because it's really cold and nobody wants to go there. but that's probably a good thing. But I mean, the amount of sea life that you see, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. And the idea, and we all know, I'm sure most of you that are watching this know, that if you take, I mean, it's so easy to destroy the entire ecosystem in that area. All you have to do is take in, you know, one predatory fish that is, you know, going to feed on everything that is there, and, you know, destroy the environment. It's absolutely, but I'm glad it was caught. And I'm not sure how it was caught specifically. If they were going really slow. What is that? I don't know. Check under the boat, maybe? I mean, anyway. At least they're canceling and they're going to do it and they're going to do it properly. So that is some good news. Did you ever see that show, America's Dumbest Criminals? I did. Kind of grew up on it. Right. Well, this man is absolutely no exception. An Arlington Heights man is accused of drunk driving and drunk boating. The DeKalb County Sheriff's Office on Sunday arrested 38-year-old Scott R. Raphael of Arlington Heights. He's charged with driving under the influence of alcohol and operating a watercraft under the influence of alcohol. The Sheriff's Office says deputies were called to Shibona Lake State Park for a report that someone was recklessly driving a boat on the lake. When deputies arrived, the sheriff's office say they saw Raphael trying to back his truck and boat trailer to the boat launch. Surprisingly, he was unsuccessful. He was arrested for DUI. An Illinois Conservation Police investigation led to the watercraft DUI charge. Like, really? I'm at loss for words. But, I mean, to be fair, we do see that in the super yachting industry as well. There's been some accidents with dire consequences, and to be drinking and driving. But really, I did have to laugh a little bit because I'm trying to imagine some guy with his boat or with his trailer and his truck trying to back down the ramp to get his it's impossible. I mean, yeah, anyway, that will keep me giggling for a while, I'm sure. It doesn't take now heading into our last story of the night. Sorry, guys, in the U.S. It's just the only funny stories that came up tonight were rednecks from the U.S. But that's okay, because I swear to God, the Europeans don't know how to drive or park. And all of those of you, especially in Spain and Mallorca, that are watching this, you know damn well how many cars go into the drink every single summertime here. I don't know what it is. What is the no emergency brake, or you don't know how? I mean, they don't know how to use the blinkers here. So maybe they don't know how to use the emergency brake. I don't know. But I will be covering those stories once the season starts and we see this happen. You can be sure that you will have a laugh over in the US at the Europeans. Sorry. A man claiming falsely to be the president of the Tennessee Valley Authority led police on a chase Friday night while driving a yacht. At 10:30 p.m., Tennessee wildlife officers responded to a call of a large yacht having been stolen from the Riverfront Parkway docks, according to an affidavit from the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office and the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. Brandon James Allman, 42, remember that name, allegedly stole a yacht estimated to be valued at $2 million. The yacht named Top Gun was noted to be missing by a friend of Robert Deal, the boat's owner, who checks on the vessel every day, according to the affidavit. Multiple agencies were involved in Allman's arrest. He steered the yacht into several jurisdictions down the Tennessee River, avoiding apprehension. The Hamilton County Sheriff's Office ordered the occupant of the vessel to come down to the rear of the vessel, adding that the occupant did not follow those commands. Surprise. And instead got in the driver's seat of the 80-foot yacht and began to evade attempts to stop it. Allman continued navigating the yacht at approximately 15 to 30 miles per hour, causing waves as high as 6 feet to emerge from both sides of the boat, creating an unsafe environment for any vessel around it. And I know that my friend Doug Meyer, Captain Doug Meyer, is over at the bottom line. He's talking about people slowing down. So that is dangerous, completely dangerous. The officers attempted once more to board the yacht, but the yacht fled the area, almost hitting several officers. Police were able to board the yacht after the motor stalled near Veterans Bridge. The yacht was smoking and taking in water. Once apprehended, Allman told to an officer in slurred speech, shocker, that he was the president of TVA, which is the Tennessee Valley Authority. Incidentally, the largest public power company in the U.S., and he had actually initially identified him as Brand himself, as Brandon Mason. Anyways, that is sort of the end of the story. Of course, he has gotten arrested. He is charged with boating under the influence, violation of boating rules, regulations, reckless operation of a boat or vessel. He's been charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault of a police officer, theft of property over $250,000, felony evading arrest by Chattanooga police. He's now being held on a $441,000 bond. He goes to court on the 16th of May. What were you thinking, dude? Like, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look like he's, you know, got it all going on there, but you know, I mean, it is a mugshot, so you know, he could do up nice with a shower, maybe. Coming from the woman that is, you know, wearing pajama bottoms while reading the news. Anyways, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. This is going to evolve and it's going to go places, and I'm going to get more comfortable doing a solo act. I'm used to interviewing other people and not being in the limelight myself. I'm not so sure how much I like it, but I felt there was a need for a daily sort of news roundup. And news has always been my game, behind the microphone, not behind the camera. So yeah, let's see where this goes. I'm really excited. It's going to be on, as I said earlier, it's going to be on every single morning for those of you in Central European time at 6 a.m. and for those of you in the U.S. Eastern Standard Time, midnight. But of course, it will be sitting up on YouTube. So when you do have a chance to watch it, please head on over. If you like it, subscribe. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. info@yachtinginternationalradio.com. This has been the very first edition of the Daily Dose News. My name is Rhea. Thanks for tuning in.